The other son-in-law sat on the right, and then other chassidim would sit. So she passed on the note, and the mazel was it went through the lab, our lab. So he took a look at the note. Basically, she was telling her father to stop. And I said, you know, Nishge Kuk, Nishge Zakt, he chucked it into his bosom. The Friedrich Rebbe was talking, he read it under the table. She didn't know, the daughter. The father's not finishing. So she thought, you know, he wanted to stretch it out a little longer, so she wrote a second note. The doctor said, you gotta come in. Came to the Rebbe again. He took a look. He didn't even take a look. He got the note. He didn't take a look. He chucked it into his bosom. Third time, she sent the note a half an hour later. It came to the Rebbe. It disappeared. After an hour, she realized someone is playing his tricks. So she was, she had a chutzpah. She came in herself and she said, Tata, the doctorim said you can't do this for your health, you can't do this. So the Friedrich Rebbe, what am I supposed to do? And he said they should stop the verbringen and they should bench. The Rebbe was sitting. I heard from Moshe Groner, he was there. He said, I cannot describe the Rebbe's upsetness. The Rebbe was so hurt. He was so hurt by what she did. He couldn't do anything, but he was devastated. He was holding it in. The Friedrich Rebbe benched. He finished benching and he showed that verbringen is over. He said, he looked at everybody and he said, and that was it. It's very hard to say goodbye to chassidim. And that was the last Simchas Torah. There was one more verbringen Yitzchus Kislev. During that verbringen of Simchas Torah, there were a lot of giluyim. The Rebbe told that in Yerzeder about Rav Mordechai Groner, Ayer the Mordechai, Ayer Shoyrish HaNesham is in Eretz Yisrael. The source of your Nesham belongs in Eretz Yisrael. A lot of different things that Friedrich Rebbe said. But he said that's how he finished the Fabrein. It's a Shver Gezegen and Zechmet Chesedim. So yet it does say. Everybody knows that in the last few years, it's da Chiluki Deis. Chabad is a lot of Chiluki Deis. This guy screams this. I want to be a romantic and I want to romanticize strife. So I'm going to romanticize it thus. There's a famous letter from the Rebbe, Four Shittus and Tzimtzum. If it's the Four Shittus and Tzimtzum. Okay, so the Arizal Rebbe Yitzchak Luria taught that before Hashem created the world, His energy, His oir, filled the entire space. So there was no place for the world. Yeah. In the place of this plate, you can't put the mic. Why? Because this occupies space. You can't put anything else in that space. Where Rabbi Winner is sitting, I can't sit. Why? Because his goof is Typhus Malkim. Right? In the place where my goof is Typhus Malkim, you can't sit. Why? Because I'm Typhus Malkim. You're lucky that I don't extend infinitely. So the Mela, you could sit. But what happens if I would hypothetically extend infinitely? Nobody would be able to sit in any place at any time. Because if I extend infinitely, that means there's no limit to me. So if there's no limit to me, there's no place for anybody else. So the Shaila in Kabbalah is, if the Eibishter's Eir is unlimited, how does Jacobson's ego exist? If the Eibishter's Eir is unlimited, if I state the problem. So how does my ego exist? if you're going to get up now and insult me, I'm going to get wounded and I'm going to be mad at you. I'll hate you. So the shaila is, Reb Avram Ayar, it was an old chassid, his name was Reb Avram Dreizin. Olive Ashallah. Where is the Enikon?
Kamenetsky.
Ah, in Melbourne. So your grandfather was a smart Jew. He was an eccentric, but he was a smart Jew. So, he was a romantic. Smart Jew.
Eccentric romantic, you can't get any better than that.
He was a chassidish yid.
Oh.
He was a chassid. No, he's a... See, once Fabreng, I didn't hear the Fabreng, I heard this chazar. He said, what's pshat an ego? What's pshat people have an ego? People have an ego doesn't mean they like COVID, that's for sure. I once went to one of my mashpiyim, and I told him I'm a grabbe yung. Why? Because I learned a couple hours look at the Torah, and then I came into a room, and I wanted that everybody should turn around. So I told him, I feel like I'm insane. He says, you're not insane, you're normal. So an ego doesn't mean, stam, you want covet. He says, psharan a covet, psharan an ego is something else. You're a big veer, in Melbourne, in the Stadt von Gewinnen, you're a big veer. So you make a reception in your own honor. Somebody else should make a reception in your own honor. A lot of the Gvidim do that. The Maizdis, it's called dinners. And during the dinner, or the reception, everybody comes, all the Rabbanim, and everybody eulogizes you. They read all the... Everybody. And it's unbelievable. And then the magazines, the Kfar Chabad, the other magazines, they have like... 600 ads because Jews gotta pay their bills and this guy's paying your bills and that's fine. man of the year is it a mensch? Is it nishke mensch? So this gvir without names is sitting at the pulpit at the head table. And every Joe Schmo, every Rav, and every Kreis is coming in with his tongue that is stretched out from his head to the Rav. And he's saying, Ashrei Eladetecha. There was never a person like you. There's never going to be a person like you. Rabban Shel Kol Bnei HaGoyle, better than Avram Avinu. Chveis was Malach Mechol, Sar HaChesed, whatever it is. Ashke Bahag, Tzana Malasafra, you make him a lambda, a rabba, Tamat Chach, Vosterville. And in the middle, and as it's, and of course he's nice, Abba Innevenik, Abba Salman, Abba Salman. Never underestimate the power of a compliment. Never. B'chaim Shmulevich, Rosh Hashiva of Mir. Shiva of Mir used to say, but he was an honest guy. He was pretty open. So he used to say about himself. He says, they call me to be Masada Kedushan by a chuppah. Call me. So, but the MC gets up. Isma Mechabed. Rab and Shekol Bnei HaGoyle. A man who created thousands of Talmidim. Rosh Hashiva of Midat and in Litten and Shanghai and in Yerushalayim. A Mechabed Sfarim. A Baki B'Shas. An extraordinary genius. The leader of world jury today. V'chuli v'chuli. Reb Chaim Shmulevich Litten Maran. To be Masada Kedushan. He told, I heard this from Ayid. He told it to a vision to Chassid. He says, I don't go up to the chuppah. I don't go up. You know why? Ich will es hören noch einmal. I want to hear it again. I want to hear it all again. The second time. Eh? You see, when you call up people, they don't go right away. They're there, but they want to hear it again.
Well, what's left? I believe it.
What's left? They say it again. Oh, now I go up. I want to hear it a second time. So the Gevir is sitting there at the head table. Avram Ayar is describing what an ego is. He's sitting at the head table, and everybody is lauding him with infinite praises, and he likes it. Avram Ayar says, that's not an ego. That's normal. In the middle of the whole thing, one of the Rabbanim that has a 2-year-old or 3-year-old son, and he runs over to the Gvir and he hits him on his head and he says, "You stupid." He says the Gvir doesn't like it. He would have liked much more if the child would have said, "I love you, you're special." He can get praises from a million people. A two-year-old tells him, "You stupid." Nah, he doesn't like it. He doesn't like it. He would have felt better if he would have got a, if that guy would have also given a compliment. Ich weiß doch einmal von sich. It's a good drasha, right? 770 is only everybody gives compliments, and then that Mendelbaum comes to push me in taches. I say he's a meshugane. But it would be nice if he would have also said that. Right? As he is thus. That's the definition of an ego. So the Mela, so the Shailis, if the Eibishter, back to Kabbalah, if the Eibishter is Ein Sof, how do you have an ego? How do you have an ego? How do you... the Eibishter, wherever there's something, is the Chet. That is always Mechadish, the Zinyan of a Tzimtzum. What's Pshat at Tzimtzum? Tzimtzum is the Eibishter concealed his infinite expression, and thus he allows us to entertain the notion that we exist independent of his reality. You heard? He suppressed his infinity, he curtailed his infinite projection, his gilui. So the Mela, I feel that I have an ego. And if you tell me something, I get insulted. Where is the I? The I is my I, because he concealed his infinity. The greater the tzimtzum, the greater the ego. The smaller the tzimtzum, the smaller the ego. People who don't have a tzimtzum, people who have very small egos, because the tzimtzum is very small, so they feel themselves as part of the divine I. They're not part of Hashem. They're not distinct of Hashem. Basically, tachlis sabri is to undo the tzimtzum. Fine. This is from the Yeshayas Achsidus. You must have learned it in the Maimonides and in the Drushim v'chuli. You learn about it more. It's a very interesting concept. It's a very interesting concept because Achsidus says that the tzimtzum is only one way. It's like tinted windows in a car. If you're in the car, you could see out. It's only the other guy can't see. So the tzimtzum is only a tinted windows from our perception, from Hashem's perception. He never is, the infinity is there. So if the infinity is there, so we're really not independent. So it makes a very interesting paradoxical concept of reality. Do we exist? Don't we exist? Depends from his perspective. We don't. From our perspective, we do. It's very Lebedic.
What's the full level?
So the Rebbe writes in a letter, there are four ways in which you can understand Simtzum. Listen. There's two concepts. There's Eir and there's Mayer. Eir is God's light, Hashem's light. Mayer is Hashem himself. Eir is Hashem's presence, his aura. Somebody at my chasana once came over to... Not once. At my chasana, somebody came over. Somebody came over to me at my chasana, a friend of mine. He took a cup of mashke and he said, "I want to give you a bracha because you need it." In every person, there are three levels. Perhaps he found that the Pesach Siddush HaSefer, the Tzaddik says, in every person there are three levels. There's who you are, who you are, there's who you think you are, and there's who other people think you are. It's three things. You know by you, Bachrim. There's who you are, there's who you think you are, and there's who's other who, what you want other people to think you are. It's three different things. So he says, "I want to give you a bracha that in your life all three should be one." So that's the Inyan Oyr. Oyr is your light, your aura, your presence. How you are experienced by other people. It's like when you're standing in the mirror, the reflection of you in the mirror, that's your Oyr. It looks just like you. If you take a picture of a guy in the mirror, it looks just like him, but it's not you. It's how you are projected, how your presence is experienced. It's your presence, not you. There's a difference between me and my presence. If I'm a real person, my presence will reflect me, but it's not me. So in Chassidus, there's Ma'ir, that's me. And there's Oyr, is my presence, my light, my reflection. You never experience me. You only experience my presence. You only experience my light. Nobody can ever experience the me of a person. You only experience that which you experience of me, that which I project. So that's Eirem Mayim. So there's a four-way argument in Kabbalah. What was the Tzimtzum? One shit is, the Tzimtzum was in Mayer. That means Hashem removed himself, literally, Kipshutei. He pashut removed himself. He's not here in the world. That's one shit. A second shit is, Hashem removed only his light, literally. He actually removed his light. A third shit is, he removed his essence. He made a tzimtzum in his essence. But when you say the word tzimtzum, you don't mean he literally removed it. You mean he concealed it. A fourth shit is, his essence, there was no tzimtzum b'chlal. He didn't even conceal his essence. Nothing happened. His essence is here like it was before. The tzimtzum was only in his light. And even in his light, he didn't remove it. He only concealed it. So that we don't experience it, but really the light is present even in the space of the world. You got the four shittas. It's an Igris Chelek Aleph. The fourth shitta, that's the Alter Rebbe's shitta. It's a big machlekes. Big machlekes. The first shitta was the Vilna Gaon shitta. The second shitta, that the Tzimtzum was in Mayer, but not Kipshutai, is the Shemir Amunim.
That's the third.
Chaim Vital, no. Chaim Vital is the one who wrote it. Is the Shemin Amunim Shitta, his name was Rabbi Yosef Irgaz. The third Shitta, that the Tzimtzum was not Kipshuta, but also in Mayer, is the Chaim Velazhinah Shitta. And the fourth Shitta, the Alter Rebbe's Shitta, is that the Tzimtzum in Atzmos Bechlal didn't happen. The essence was not removed, not concealed. Nothing happened to the essence. Only in the light, and in the light it wasn't removed, it was only concealed. Sounds like Chinese, yeah? The whole Chassidus, half of Chassidus is based on this fourth Shitta. In Hashem's essence, there was no Chilik B'chlal. Before creation, after creation, it wasn't concealed. It wasn't. The essence is not defined by terms of concealment or expression. Your essence is not revealed, it's not concealed. It's a different type of reality. It doesn't get revealed, it doesn't get concealed. It is what it is. So Hashem's essence, before creation, after creation, is here, mamash. No difference. Hashem's presence that was revealed, that he concealed, so that we should feel our egos. The Ma'isis Azeh. I was told I want to romanticize the strife. So Gimel Tammuz was a big tzimtzum. The Meshechisten Taina, that the tzimtzum in Ur was not kipshutte. Even in Ur, it says in the Rebbe there's two inyana. There's the Rebbe's presence and there's the Rebbe. The Rebbe's presence is the Rebbe. The Rebbe's presence was, if you heard the Rebbe talk, or you saw the Rebbe blow shofar, you saw the Rebbe come into davening, that's his presence. It's not necessarily he, it's his presence. So what happened in Gimel Tammuz? The Meshechisten Taina says that Schele Gadol of Chassidei Chabad Taina, that 1:30 the Rebbe still comes into Fabrank. Yeah, Shachris Mincha Maariv happens like always. Tishrei the same thing. If you read different articles, that's what they write. What are they saying? A gevalde ketaych. Tzimtzum in Eid is not kipshutai. He concealed it. You don't see it, but the Eid is there. The Eid is there just like it was. You don't see the Eid. Others say, no, in the Eid there was a Tzimtzum kipshutai. The Eid is not here. There's no gilui. It's not here. It's not that you don't see it. It's taken not here. But kula alma maidi, that in Etzem there was no tzimtzum. The dinganish is an Eid. If I state was a chazag, the whole dinganish is an Eid. If it was kipshutai or not kipshutai. Some people tie the tzimtzum in Eid, not kipshutai. I don't know if they themselves know this, but some of the time, the Tzimtzum in Eir is not Kipshutai. What says not Kipshutai? It's only a Helim. It's not a Siluk. Helim means a concealment, not a removal. You don't see it. It's your problem. Put on other glasses. Everything is like it was. Everything. That's one Shitta. It's a Shitta, Meshnaipta, Medat, and this. So, Midas Nishnas Galga want to say that Tzimtzum. But that's one. Others say, no, the Tzimtzum was Kipshutai. There's no way. Today there's no way. There's no way. But l'kula alma, l'kula alma, the etzem. There was no tzimtzum in the etzem. Even if there was a tzimtzum kipshutai, even chveisnisht. I don't know. I can hear. It's an ay, but an etzem. In the essence, in the presence, is a tzimtzum, not in the essence. What do you mean? You mean the tzimtzum and eid or silicon eid? Silicon hella. Either you could say silicon eid or hellum in eid. There's no hellum in etzim. Etzim is not behellum, it's not begili. Yeah, chzogdach. So Bashashi was singing the Baltava Nigim before, in the last Tnuadat. That the tire kite from the Bacha. It's very hard for the Bacha, Saddam. It's very hard. It's hard for good reason. Because in our Moisdus, you know, they mahaked Rebbe. It's very hard for the Bachram. So the Bachram that who grew up in families with Zaydas and Babas, that every Monday and Thursday when they went to the dentist, they wrote to the Rebbe. When they had the flu, they wrote to the Rebbe. When they had the virus, they wrote to the Rebbe. When they had a headache, they wrote to the Rebbe. When they needed a new shaitel, they wrote to the Rebbe. So such guys, let's say, you know, it's like if you have a Zayda and the Zayda lived with you that for 60 years, so even afterwards, you know, you can keep on hearing stories of the Zayda and everybody knew the Zayda and went with the Zayda. So the Bacha, like, you live with that. But the guys that they don't have such a Zayda or such a father, so, you know, you have what they call basically the FFBs and the BTs. So the FFBs are the people that are verblunted from birth. But then, you know, they that is a sign that they're there again. So. So the mice is also. The first stage is, don't ever be in denial of your emotions. You're allowed to have conflicting emotions. You're allowed to talk about them. You should express them. There's an inyan that people don't express their emotions out of fear that they're going to be deemed heretics. Well, that's rubbish in Australian addiction. That's rubbish. Never suppress an emotion out of fear that you're going to be deemed a heretic. Talk about it, express it. Yesh bayot memegde eidim v'gada. Sa shveret kufa. We're living through a shveret kufa. Everybody should realize that. There's no need to deny it. There's no need to cover up. We're living through a shveret kufa. The guys, you know, on shlichus for 20 years, they're not going to quit. And it's also going well, and it's bringing in a living. You know, even if you have your problems, when you're a bacher, and you're attempting to mold your identity, and you have that 100 ropes pulling you in 100 different directions, it's a difficulty. So the first thing is, as you have to be honest with yourself. Wherever you are in life, just be honest with yourself. Be honest with your emotions. Be honest with your thoughts. If they're extreme, nishkadayit. Everybody has extreme emotions. It's all right. Talk about them, fabreng about them, share them. Don't be a con artist. Machzich nishkin sadik. Because you're going to grow up to be one big con artist. You're not going to have a shaychus with anybody, with anything. Be open, be honest, be confrontative, be, ask questions, it's all right. Das ist erstens. Zweitens am meisten. Zweitens am meisten ist das so. It's hard to say, and it's hard to accept, and it's difficult to experience. But today's Bachlim live with the Etzem of the Rebbe. Amal Bachlim had Giluyay. Because according to everybody, there was a Helam. There was Gilead. There was Gilead. A lot of Gilead. A lot of revelation, a lot of expression. Even then, everybody had free choice. You think there were no bums? Plenty of them. And no difference. I know, plenty of them. You always have your free choice. I told you before, everybody says, if I was... But Fard was a Gilead. And because there's a Gilead, you also have to be so real, so internal, so deep. Because you relied on the projection, you know? There was an atmosphere, there was a revelation. Today, Bachrim, the Tmimim, connect with the Rebbe himself, not with his presence, with the Rebbe himself, not with his light, with himself. It's very personal, it's very intimate, it's very, I don't want to be wordy, it's very, you have to get real. We have to be zich mechazik. We have to strengthen ourselves. It's a time of Helam. And to connect to the essence is very difficult. Because we like light. You know? We like light. Essence is not light. The Rebbe once said it at Fabreng, and he said, what was the difference before Tavshin Yud and after Tavshin Yud? He says, before Tavshin Yud, when you went in on Yechidus to the Rebbe, to the Friedeke Rebbe, the Yetzahara also went in with you. So B'meila, when you came out, the Yetzahara couldn't tell you the Rebbe didn't say this and the Rebbe didn't mean this. Because the Yetzahara was there. So the Yetzahara heard the Rebbe say, do this, do this, do that. He says, after Tavshin Yud, they don't let the Yetzirah into Yechidus anymore. It's too at a high level. They don't let the Yetzirah into the Yechidus. So after the Yechidus, the Nefesh HaLakis has Yechidus, and the Yetzirah comes out and says, the Rebbe didn't say this, he didn't mean that, even if he said he didn't mean... That's what the Rebbe said. Some Chastei Tavshin the Zion, he said it. What's Peshat in our lives? What's Peshat in our life? The Rebbe says there, the Nefesh HaLakis, Amo, you would go on a Yechidus, you would go for a dollar, the Yetzahara came along. Today, Yetzaharas are not allowed. Only your Neshama could go on a Yechidus. Since only your neshama goes in on yichidus, so when you come out, the Yetzirah says, it never happened, it didn't happen, the Rebbe didn't say, it didn't mean, he wasn't talking to you, he was talking to somebody else. The Yetzirah is not there on yichidus. But the nefesh elikis goes in on yichidus. So that means that if you excavate your nefesh elikis and you uncover it, there's an experience of yichidus. But here you have to be careful, because there's a lot of room for fantasy. We are young and we want to be perfect, so therefore we can create fantasies of experiences that never happen. That's why you have to be very honest. You have to realize that we have two nefashas, and we have struggles, and we have ups and downs, and we have trials and tribulations. The bachim dafen sich mechazig sein. Me daf sich anhalten eine zu der andere stark. We gotta hug each other and embrace each other. B'chavle avoyses ava. You know what b'chavle avoyses ava means? Huh? With strong ropes of love. And you know, if you gotta release a few tears, you release a few tears. You say, I wanna open my heart to you. Bust out your machshavazadas. Expose yourself. Create a psychological and emotional stripping of the garments. Daf mafshid zayn de levushim. Daf mafshid zayn de levushim, and be open with each other, and be open with ourselves. On zech mechazek zayn. Yis oyderi, kiva oyderich kumi oyderi. What the significance of the tkuf is, veisichnasht. Mevartach yede lege, b'chol lege v'lege. That there should be, again, the oy b'hizgalus mamash, the etzim eich b'hizgalus. But biz does this, lege comes, we live in a matzah of helen v'hester, so we have to be zich mechazik, and be zich, and connect ourselves, and not fall prey to all the chesbainas that come from the Yetzirah. L'chaim, Brida, l'chaim. In Russia, there's a medina called Gruzia, Georgia. In Georgia, there was a mishpacha that was wealthy and Sephardic, like all the Georgian Jews. And b'chlal, I don't know if you know George of Jews of Gruzia, you don't have a Gruzina community in Melbourne. George of Gruzia... In Lud, you have, yeah. They're usually stubborn and hot-blooded, very hot-blooded, and they like people who come from the same place. They're very tribal, and they're big akshanim. They have wide shoulders, and you know, they fight. So in Gruzia, there was a mishpacha, and they had a boy who was 18 years old, and he received a scholarship to travel from Georgia to Italy, to Milano, to study in the university, and then return home and go into the family business, which was making fur, developing fur. On the way, he stopped, Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, he was frum. So he stopped in a Russian city called Rostov in the year Tofri Shayinches 1918. In Tofri Shayinches, the Rebbe Rashab lived in Rostov because he moved from Lubavitch to Rostov 2 years earlier. Rostov is today, they have the mikveh there and the home they bought back. And the Rebbe Nishma Seyden lived there for 4 years till he passed away on Beis Nissen Tofri Shpei 1920. So this young 18-year-old boy from Georgia was Rosh Hashanah in Rostov, and as I mentioned, he came from a Sephardic, wealthy, well-to-do, traditional family. He was without a beard, but he was a frum, basically. He comes out, he stayed at a hotel, money he wasn't missing. He comes out Rosh Hashanah in the morning on the porch, and he sees a lot of people running.
Dressed.
1 second. They're running. That's where they're running. They're going to the rabbina, to the big rabbi. So he also goes. Sfardim b'chol have amunas tzaddikim. He goes there. He comes into the shul with the Rebbe Rashab was davening. How was he dressed? He was dressed like a good, wealthy, 18-year-old, handsome beauty. Wrong. Stand correct here. Handsome guy of George. So this is what he was wearing. He was wearing that. I don't remember the color, but a white suit, a red bow tie, like matched beautifully, but and yellow shoes. He comes into the 770 of Rostov, and as mentioned, a Svardisha action. So he sees around the bimah, you know, b'chlal by the rabbeim they would blow shofar up by the bimah. So around the bimah, people would push very vigorously in order to stand close, and they would smash like sardines by the Rebbe's blowing of shofar. The shul was overpacked, and the first 10-15 rows around the bimah, people were mamish like sardines in a can box, and much more. For example, if you would throw a person from the ceiling down, he would never land. It was impossible. He would remain on people's heads and shoulders. If you would throw a pin, it wouldn't fall to the ground. Wouldn't. People were so smashed together, you couldn't even imagine. You were like, every space was used. There was a vapor, there was a smoke. Mamash, a vapor that went up, a steam that went up, nachanan, just the whole time. Because Kiyas Shofar was, I mentioned before, was a unique moment. B'chlal, the Rebbe was a tzaddik nister. I don't know if you know. Tzaddik nister, nobody knew it. The Mendel HaRadaka was once talking about tzaddikim nistarim. They said, you want to know what tzaddik? They said, could you show us a tzaddik nister? The Mendel HaRadaka was one of the big Rebbes, the Talmud of the Maggid, the Alter Rebbe went to. The Mendel HaRadaka, they asked him, can you show us a tzaddik nister? So the Mendel HaRadaka said, yeah, you're looking at one. So they said, you're not a tzaddik nister. Everybody knows about you. So he said, as achon achvei, if my tzidkis would consist of that which you know about me. As achon achvei, if my greatness would be that which you appreciate of me. In that sense, the Rebbe was also tzaddik nister. And all the rabbeim, but the Rebbe b'chlal didn't show. People tell all the miracles today. Most of them came out now. Before, nobody knew. The Rebbe behaved in a very, very humanistic way. The Rebbe went dressed with a tie. He ate. I don't mean to be misunderstood, but the Rebbe ate very slowly, like a very refined way. The Rebbe davened. He stood in one place. He didn't budge. A whole Yom Kippur Shoshana, the Rebbe could stand and shall not budge. If you looked at him and you didn't know who it is, you didn't even think he's having kavana during Shemoneh Esrei. He would just like stand, like it seemed like very cold, like frozen, numb. The Rebbe wouldn't move. He knew who it was. He understood that it was a whole other type of relationship. It wasn't his spilus, it was dveikus or whatever. For other rabbeim, they would scream, they would cry, they would weep. The Rebbe would stand, go, you know, he would come in, walk out. So, very organized. You didn't see any otherworldliness. The Rebbe almost never, ever conveyed an otherworldliness. And it's a very powerful message that. Because the Rebbe's inyan was to transform the world and not to overwhelm it. The Rebbe didn't want to overwhelm anybody. He wanted to touch people from within. Could have easily, with his charisma, overwhelmed the world and captivated it. He chose not to. One by one, birur ache birur, everybody on their own has to appreciate the neshama from within. It's a very powerful idea. Kiya Shofar was one exception. During Kiya Shofar, you saw that the man is shaloi me'al medein. You saw the man is not from this world. During Kiya Shofar, you saw it, you pashut saw it. You saw the man lives in another world. You didn't see it usually. Kiya Shofar, you saw it. It was a very powerful pushing. It was a special moment, Kiya Shofar. The Rebbe would say this psukim with such ishtapchus ha-nefesh.
That's
He would just throw the talus over his head, and you would sometimes can hear him cry, or even if not, you just saw him. He gave himself over as a, and then he would say the psukim with such a dveikus hashtapchus hanefesh. You saw lakus. There's nothing that can be compared to it. You saw godliness in action. Such a shtapchus hanefesh that I would sometimes cry, and then how he would blow the shofar. You push it, saw mamish dveikus with the Eberster. You saw a person who was one, pasha one with the Eberster, but his galus mamish, that an atzmus dwells in him. It was a different Indian. It was an electrifying moment. Even electrifying doesn't do justice to the experience. It was year after year. The Rebbe sometimes would get stuck on a shayfir, on one tkiyah, he can get stuck 20 minutes. One tkiyah, you know? Levitcha Freyden used to say, what does he have to blow the shofar? Give it to a young guy, has koyach, he'll blow all the shofars in a minute and everybody will like it. Yeah. You know, Gezaya Machzbir. He's a Pashto Yid. He said, what's that for a chmuchin? He says, the Rebbe, he says, I love the Rebbe. It was the Rebbe's photographer. He's a Pashto Yid. He died already. He said, I love the Rebbe. He tells me, there's three things I don't understand about him. I hate doing them and he loves doing them. He says, he loves speaking. He loves giving out money. So the third thing is the mice with blowing shofar. He said, blast them. Give it to a young man. Anyway, Chassidim knew a little better. Kiyah shofar to Shoshana, that's basically when God decides if the stack called the universe is worth creating. The financial year in Australia just finished last week. Yeah, you gotta make a cheshbon. Shnei Shoshana Shofar, that's when the cosmos begins, you know. Is it worth it or not? And the Tkiyah Shofar is, that's what does it. So B'chol Eifin, to a horrible pushing. So this 18-year-old Sfarda Shebachel pushed through the Hoyle Olam. He decided he wants to go onto the Bimah. With his red bow tie and yellow shoes, he went onto the bima. So they pushed him off. They tried to push him with a chutzpah on the bima. But he was strong and 18. He was strong and built and muscular. He didn't let himself go. So they pushed and pushed. He was there. When the Rebbe came onto the bima, that's when they really started to push him. The Rebbe Rasham. But he wouldn't budge. He was an action. He decided, I'm going to stay here. Till the end, I'm going to stay here. The Rebbe Rashab started to do the maftir and the lam matzeach, and he was with his talus over his head. And one of the chassidim was so angry with him, one of the elder chassidim, he put his teeth into the shoulder of this 18-year-old boy, and he bit it. He bit a piece. He did, to get him off. So it was bleeding and he got a big dent. And that moment, the Rebbe Rashab lifted his talus. He lifted his talus and he went like this. Leave him alone, basically. The Rebbe says they left him alone. After Tkiyas, after davening, the Friedrich Rebbe comes over to this boy and he says, who are you? My father wants to know, who are you? He was standing there, where bist du? So he tells him his name. He says, okay, now is a busy time, Rosh Hashanah, Sukkot. You'll be here for the Yom Tovim. After Sukkot, you'll go on Yechidus because my father wants to see you. Fine. He wasn't planning to, but comes on Yechidus. The Rebbe Rashab asks him who he is. He couldn't speak Yiddish, only Russian or Georgian or Lashon Kodesh. So they spoke in Lashon Kodesh. Rebbe Rashab says, who are you? Where are you going? He tells him who he is, where he's coming from. He says, I'm on the way to Italy. I have a scholarship to go into university to be able to study for business. So these were the words. Rebbe Rashab says, to Italy, you'll arrive when the time comes. When the right time comes, you'll come to it. In the meantime, if you want to listen to my advice, take off your red bow tie. Get rid of your yellow shoes and your white suit. Und setz dich lernen in Temchit Mema. Sit down and learn in Temchit Mema. For some reason, he listened to the advice and he pushed it, interrupted his journey. And he sat down to learn in Temchit Mema. Why did he do it? He felt that this is the emes. A career he had in Italy. But the emes he had in Temchit Mema. So he sat down to learn in Temchit Mema. And he became a very loyal and deep chassid to Rebbe Rashabas Makarev. 2 years later, the Rebbe Nishmas Eden passed away. Beis Nissen Tafrish Pei. He continued to learn in his stuff. In the year Tafrish Pei Dalid, in 1924, Stalin then went out full force, eradicating Yiddishkeit from the Soviet Union, the former Soviet Union. All the mikvahs were closed, all the schools, Yimastama saw embers, v'chuli, v'chuli. So the Friedrich Rebbe then, Rabbi Winner mentioned, called in into his room 9 young men. And he told them, he said with these words, he says, Judaism is in danger. It's going to be abolished. I want that you 9 men, I chose you because of who you are, your character. I want you should accept upon yourself an oath that you will sacrifice your lives to preserve Yiddishkeit in Russia until your last drop of blood.